Good morning. Welcome to Crossroads. My name is Steve. Make sure you're always looking out for people that are here for the first time. I'm constantly meeting people that are here first, second, third time. And you are CBC to them. So welcome. We are in a series where we're going through this book called Believe. And we're talking about things that we believe, things that we think, things that we do. And we're at a spot where we're talking about sharing our faith. And from this book, let me just read you some of the conclusions at the beginning of this chapter, all right? So it says, we believe the one true God has unfolded his grand plan to provide salvation through Jesus Christ. We believe God loves all people and extends an invitation to everyone to receive eternal life. We believe there's a heaven and a hell and that Jesus is returning to judge the earth and establish his eternal kingdom. Only those who receive salvation by faith in Christ in this life will be a part of the eternal life to come. We believe God has purposed the church to be the primary ambassador to spread this message, this good news to the world. So, this is what we believe. But if God had created this plan and submitted this to us for our like response, you know, I don't know if you've ever put together like a business plan to see how your business is going to work. But if God had created his plan and submitted it to us and said, what do you think about this? Do you think this is going to work? You know, and we responded and said, well, you know, that's really awesome. And you've obviously put a lot of work into this, God, and it's very compassionate and wonderful. You know, we're not sure we would have done that whole incognito thing, you know, where you show up as Jesus and no one realizes you're God. But that's okay. You know, I'm sure that you've got some reason for that. But if you get to this last point, and when God had told us this was his plan, you know, we just kind of go ahead and say it. But think about it. God has created this massive eternal plan. And then he has said the most important point, you know, God has purposed his church to be the primary ambassador to spread this message. Don't you just want to stop and go, wait a minute. It's all hinging on us? You've got this gigantic plan, and now the delivery method, right, is us. No, that doesn't make any sense at all. Can't you do something better? Can't you have a better plan, a better way to get this message to everybody than me, than the church? You know, there's no more frail, kind of messed up organization on earth than the church, right? Because it's made up of people like us. And you're going to just allow that to be the way that everybody knows about it. How many of you heard about Jesus through a person, like a human being, right? How many of you heard it? Well, but see, it's working. How many of you heard about it through like your mom or dad? Anybody? Yeah, and then how many of you, like, some of you might have read a book, whatever, but you probably heard it through a Sunday school teacher or a friend or something like that. So evidently, as crazy as it sounds, it's working. Now, we'll find out that, you know, God hasn't, like, stepped out of the picture. He's very much involved in this whole thing. But I think it's astonishing to realize that he really wants us to be involved in this whole process, that we are ambassadors. And so this is why, as one of our values, when we have our values that spell out the word grace, the second one is, if we can bring that up, the first one is growing people change. The second one is redeemed people can't keep quiet. It's the idea that when you come into an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, it changes your life and it makes you want to share it, makes you want to tell other people about it. So in the book of Acts, chapter 4, Peter and John, this is soon after Jesus ascended into heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit and the church was born. Peter and John are going around telling everyone in Jerusalem about Jesus and they get in trouble. And so the authorities call them in and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it's right in God's sight to listen to you rather than God. For we can't stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. We just can't stop. It's just too important to us. It's up there. I mean, our lives have been changed. This guy that we've been following around, Jesus, he did miracles. He taught us. He died. And then he came back to life. He was resurrected. And we saw this, and it's amazing. And so we just can't stop. So we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative, right? And so in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, we are Christ's ambassadors. All Christians are. We're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. It's a privilege. It's a high calling. It's amazing that God would want us to be part of this. Sometimes it feels like it's too much. I used to work at this restaurant called TGI Fridays. They still exist, right? There's still some around. And I was working there, and I just wanted to be a waiter. And the manager came, and he felt like his job was to make me better at this than I already was. So he sat me down one day, and he said, Steve, I'm not sure you fully grasp what you're doing here. And I said, well, I bring food from the kitchen to the people. He goes, no, it's more than that. You are TGI Fridays. You represent the whole thing. When you are at a table, you are TGI Fridays to these people. And I go, no, that's not what I signed up for. I'm just a waiter. He goes, no, you are. That's why we tell you. You are CBC, right? Somebody comes in here, they sit down next to you, they're brand new. You are CBC to that person, right? Yeah, you are. It's astonishing. And so God says to us, if you follow me, then there's some things that go along with that. And I, you know, accepted Jesus back in the day, and I was all excited about a relationship with God, and that's all I wanted. That's all that I was opting for. And someone came along and said, Steve, now that you're a Christian, guess what? You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of the church. And I said, no, thank you. I don't really want that. I didn't opt for that. I didn't check that on the box. I just want me and God. And they said, no, you're also part of, you got all these brothers and sisters, you're part of the universal body of Christ. I go, so I slowly said yes to that. And then they told me after I'd been a Christian for 2 weeks, now you are supposed to go out and tell other people about Jesus. And I said, no, I'm not checking that box either. And they said, well, we're not really asking, we're just telling you, this is what you are. You're an ambassador for Christ. I said, I can't do this, you know? And we think, well, maybe on my half dozen best days in my life, I could represent the kingdom of God. You know, when I haven't outwardly sinned a lot for like a week or two, you know, and then, you know, I haven't like had a huge fight with my wife or my kids. Things are kind of okay. Maybe on a day like that, I could tell people about Jesus. But that's not really, it's not really the way it works at all. We come into a relationship with Jesus and we are automatically ambassadors. We're part of being a Christian is telling other people, just sharing our faith, right? And so I think one thing we need to be aware of is just to have our antenna up, right? And in our culture, sometimes it seems like nobody cares about spiritual things. Nobody wants to know answers to the big questions. But every once in a while, you do get a hint that that's not all there is. So, 1991, the number three song on the popular music chart was by a band called Styx. And they came up with this song called Show Me the Way. So this is number three in the country, you know, in 91 when the Gulf War was about ready to start. Goes like this. I'm going to sing it for you, okay? Just so you'd listen. Every night I say a prayer in the hope that there's a heaven. But every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay, and I feel this empty place inside, so afraid that I've lost my faith. And as I slowly drift to sleep, for a moment dreams are sacred. I close my eyes and know there's peace in a world so filled with hatred. Then I wake up each morning and turn on the news to find we've so far to go, and I keep on hoping for a sign. So afraid, I just won't know. Show me the way, please show me the way. This is not a Christian song, okay? This is just a regular secular pop music song. This guy that was the head of the band wrote this for his son, his little kid. So every once in a while you kind of get these clues that, hey, maybe people are looking, maybe people are wanting to know. So 3 years after that, I was reading Time magazine, and I just decided to read the letters to the editor. You know, people are upset about this or that, or they're critiquing something that was written. And out of nowhere, there's this letter to the editor of Time by a teenager from Yugoslavia. His name is Peter. And he said this. He said, "I'm a student in a secondary school. I can tell you something is wrong with Serbia today. The insanity that is ruling here makes us crazy and dangerous." You can remember all the unrest and the war going on over there at that time. He says, "Somebody asked me, ain't it fun when you know you're going to die young? Maybe for some, but not for me. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. It's easy to cry these days. Most of us who are living on the edge think that this is the end. Nobody can see a reason to live, a reason to believe in a God, or in any kind of justice under the sky." And then he says this. This is what really caught my attention. He said, "But if there's a place where we can find an answer to the questions we ask, we will keep on trying until the end of time, and who knows?" Isn't that amazing? A letter to the editor. This kid is just going, there's got to be some answers out there. Where could I possibly find them? You know, I was thinking, we live in kind of a crazy time, don't we, right now? Don't you just feel like, gosh, everything is crazy right now? And if you're as old as me, you grew up in another crazy time called the 60s. Yeah, there was this actual decade called the 60s where you just didn't know what was going to happen next. There was some good stuff, but there was a lot of bad stuff, right? It felt like the whole world was just shaking. Somebody just took it and was just shaking it. And I didn't know any better because I was growing up in it. But at the time, it just felt unhinged, like everything's falling apart, kind of like it feels like right now, you know? But you know what happened at the end of the 60s? Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of men and women became Christians at the end of the 60s and the early 70s. There was a huge revival. God, because people started going, there's got to be some answers here. Boys, girls, teenagers, all these people started coming to Christ. And I thought the other day, well, you know, that can happen now. So keep your antenna up. And that's, of course, on a global scale. But just in your relationships, in our relationships, God wants us to share our faith. And here's the best definition. I didn't even put it up on the screen, but I just remembered it from 45 years ago. When I first became a Christian, they said evangelism is simple. Evangelism is sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Can you memorize that? Remember it? Evangelism is sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. So in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is getting ready to leave, and they're all freaked out. All the disciples are freaked out because Jesus is getting ready to leave. And so he says this, Acts 1, 8. You guys stay here, I'm leaving. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And we're thinking, well, that's just the apostles, right? The first church. No, it's everybody. It's us. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives when we become followers of Christ, when we receive Christ. And he helps us share our faith. Now, when we say that, it's not that, you know, you go into a trance or you get some special word that you never heard before. It's just that the Holy Spirit is living in us now. And as we talk to people and share our faith, he helps us. Doesn't mean we won't make mistakes, but he helps us. So the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit's ministries in your life and mine is helping us share our faith. Now, an encouraging thing comes up in the next chapter, chapter 2. At the end of, between Acts 1 and 2, the beginning of chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon the church. The church is all meeting in one place. The Spirit comes and creates the church, and they all start speaking in different tongues to witness to that. And then there's a snapshot of what the church is like. You know, they're loving each other, and they're helping each other, and it's great. And at the end of that passage, it says this. It says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." And one of the things I see in here is that God's not out of this process. He's very much a part of the process of us sharing our faith. Remember, evangelism is sharing Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. We think, you know, if I talk to somebody about Jesus, then they've got to, you know, believe in him. And no, sometimes it's just part of a conversation, right? And so God is very much in control, and he's very much a part of this. And that's difficult for us to keep in straight in our heads, right? Because it's kind of a mystery. Because what it's saying is we are part of this process. We have a responsibility. God wants to use us. And you know, a bunch of you just raised your hands and said that you heard about it through a person, but somehow he's also involved in the process. So there was a funny little statement that J.I. Packer made, which is only really funny in seminary usually, but there's, you know, kind of two schools of thought. There's, you know, like Arminian theology, which emphasizes man's responsibility, and then there's Calvinistic theology, which emphasizes God's sovereignty. And both of these are true, but J.I. Packer wrote a book called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. And he said, we're all Arminians when we talk to our friends, and then when we get down to pray, we become Calvinists. And the idea is this: when I'm talking to a friend of mine, I'm trying to convince them that Jesus is true. He's alive. He's the way, right? And I'm answering questions and hoping that they will choose to follow him, right? Because they have this, you know, they have this ability to choose to do that. And then when I kneel down to pray for my friend, what do I say? I say, God, please save them. So I realize I'm part of the process, but God is too. And he's ultimately the person that can bring someone from death to life. There was in Acts chapter 16, the first church in Europe is in Philippi, right? And Paul goes into Philippi, and it's a bizarre group. I mean, it's got a businesswoman who sells purple stuff, which is real expensive, and her name is Lydia. And then there's a demon-possessed slave girl, and then there's a Roman jailer, and this is like their small group in their church in Philippi. This is the gang. And it says that God opened Lydia's heart. He just did. So God is sovereign in this whole process, and yet he wants us to be involved. It's amazing. How does that work? I don't know. But he does want us to be involved. And so here's two ways in which I think about it. It said show and tell. All right? So let's just think about it that way. Show and tell. They still have show and tell in school here? I don't know. It's always the kind of the craziest, most fun day that you can have, right? You're always wondering what kid is going to bring what from their house for show and tell. You still do that? I don't know. But show and tell means to me that we reach out through love and service to people. And that just simply means make friends. Most of the time, a conversation about Jesus will happen in the context of a friendship, right? I mean, every once in a while you hear these stories about people getting on an airplane. I got on an airplane, I sat next to a stranger, they suddenly out of the blue asked me about Jesus, and I told them, and we got off the plane, never saw them again, right? That can happen, but it's kind of unusual. The most common way that people talk about Jesus is in the context of a friendship. Friendship, relationship of some kind. So I would just say make friends. Make friends with all kinds of people. I when I first became a Christian, I suddenly told all my friends about it, told my family, told my friends. And then after a while, I noticed something happened was I got involved in a church. And so I developed all these Christian friends. And after a while, I didn't have any non-Christian friends. Has that ever happened to you? You look around and go, well, everybody I know is a Christian. You know, I'm in 9 small groups. I've kind of taken the small group thing a little too far, you know, and I don't even know anybody that's not a Christian. So I'm not saying make projects out of people. I'm saying make friends out of people. Just make friends out of all kinds of people and just see what happens, right? When we were growing up, one of the easiest ways to do that was through, when our kids were little, school sports, right? You know, they're on a sports team, you're going to go someplace, you're having a match in another town, so you volunteer to drive, so you're thrown together with a bunch of other people. And that's how we made a lot of friends, just school and sports. And And that was great, you know, but sometimes your kids grow up and then what are you going to do? I don't know. We live in this community down here called Bridalwood. And they have decided, along with some other neighborhoods, to have this social networking, you know, like it's almost like it's like emailing. And so you can join that. And people are always posting things like, I need to cut my tree down. How do you do that? Or I lost my dog or my cat or whatever. And how do you do this? But every once in a while, somebody will get honest and personal. And I noticed the other day, this woman goes, we just moved to the area and we don't know anybody. And we're trying to make friends. And she said, so I decided to invite anyone reading this to visit, to go to Patrizio's at 5:30 on Wednesday, and we'll just meet. And we had already had something going on, but I looked at this and went, well, who does that? Right? Would you do that? Would you be so open to say, I don't have any friends. I just want to meet some people. So we could have, it would have been, you know, we could have driven all the way over there, all the way to Patrizio's. You could walk there from here, right? You could walk there in less than 5 minutes and just meet some people. It's that easy. She just wants to make friends. It's like amazing. And then you can do other things. You can become friends with people from all over the world. Because why? Because we live near UNT. And UNT is the University of North Texas, right? And so they have a thing called Friendship Partners. And last August and September, they said, if we want to become Friendship Partners, students at UNT that come from all over the world will sign up for this program. And all you have to do is we sign up for it, they sign up for it, then they put us together. And all you have to do is get together with this kid from Malaysia or India or somewhere twice a month. And you go, you have them to your house for dinner, or you take them to some event, you know, some great Texas event, right? Twice a month. It's called a friendship partner. And they kind of filled up. But last week, I got an email saying, hey, we got 10 more students, and we're looking for someone. So all we would have to do is say yes to that. And guess what? Here's this kid that's living here, thousands of miles from where he grew up, and just wants to make friends. It's all organized like that, right? Or here's something else that's incredibly difficult to do. You can sign up to go over to Louisville to the Salvation Army the second Sunday of the month. And we only need 4 people right now every week. And Sherry Hudspeth knows about this, so she can raise her hand. And we're starting this thing with some other churches in the area. And Salvation Army serves free lunch on Sundays to homeless people. So you go over there for a couple hours at lunch and you contribute, and you not only serve, you actually sit down and eat the meal with homeless people, and you get to know them and you say hi and you introduce yourself. So that's all set up. So if you want to do that, we're going to start doing that the second Sunday of the month. And so there's just some ideas. And frankly, this thing is still out there, this sheet that says everyone has a part to play. We did this a few weeks ago, which is like opportunities to serve, right? And in the church and outside the church, in our community. So that's still out there on the welcome desk. You can get one of these and just love people. Just show love to people. And if they ask about Jesus, tell them about him. But just show love to people. So that's what I mean by show. And tell is when someone says, hey, tell me about this. And you invite people into the gospel story. I'm just going to tell you the easiest thing I can think of is this. If you're talking to someone and it gets around to this question, often I'll say, would you mind if I told you what happened to me? Would you mind if I told you my story? Now, every once in a while, somebody will go, I don't want to hear it. Right? But often people go, sure. Tell me what happened to you. And so you just tell your story of meeting Christ, right? Just tell them. And you know, a friend of mine said, you're not always like you don't become that person's whole spiritual story. Sometime you're a chapter in their story. Sometime you're a paragraph. Sometime you're just a sentence. That's okay. Because this person may be angry at God for things that have happened in their life. They may be burned by a church. You may be the first real Christian they've ever talked to. Now, that's kind of a weird statement, but think about it. There are many people who have a different faith, and they've never actually had a conversation about God with a real Christian, right? That was a normal conversation that wasn't weird. And so they may be, you know, you may be talking to a person that would say they were a negative 10 towards Jesus. And after your conversation, maybe they're a negative 5, right? You just say, would you mind if I told you my story? And I love this passage from 1 Peter, where Peter, of all people, says this. He says, worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Don't you love that Peter says this? He just seems different than he used to be. And so there's two things I see here. One is you love God, you love people, right? He's saying worship Christ. Be a worshiper. I mean, that's one of the reasons we come in here and worship through singing on a Sunday morning. But that's not all that worship is, right? But when we worship, and if we're worshipers throughout the week, it means that our relationship with Christ is like on the front burner. It's obvious to us. It's such a high value that we're thinking about it a lot. So when we're in conversations with people, if we're worshipers, it's just going to come out. And then he says, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. So love people enough to care about them. And what their situation is. I love that phrase. Worship Christ. If someone asks you, always be ready to explain why you have this hope. All right? Now, sometimes that telling will be agonizing, and they'll have difficult questions, and it'll take years, and they may reject you. Or yeah, I mean, that's happened to me. People have yelled at me. And sometimes it's not easy. And then other times, it's amazingly simple. I don't know if you really caught on to what Christy was reading in this passage during the offering. It was from Acts chapter 8. And it was a bizarre story, if you were really listening, because there's this guy, Philip. He's a new Christian. And an angel tells Philip to go down this road. And so Philip's going down the road. And then the Spirit says, go up to that chariot. And people kind of would read aloud back then. So he's going along, probably like, you know, jogging alongside the chariot. And there's this eunuch in there. And he's reading this passage from Isaiah 53. And Philip says, hey, you know, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy goes, no, how can I understand it? You know, it's confusing. I need somebody to help me. And he says, jump in. So he jumps in and he reads Isaiah 53, which is like about the clearest passage in the Old Testament about Jesus that there is, but the guy didn't know anything about Jesus. So Philip says, well, glad you asked. This is about this guy named Jesus, and he explains it to him, and then the eunuchs, they're driving by some water, a pond or whatever, and he goes, why don't I just get baptized right now? So he gets baptized, and then Philip's gone. It's a bizarre story, right? And you're thinking, is that ever going to happen? I mean, that's like in Bible times, you know, stuff like that happens. But I don't know if it would ever happen now. Well, sometimes it does. So I was thinking my closest story to that one is this. Again, I was working at TGI Fridays, and you're thinking that's the only place I've ever worked. It's not true, but it was a significant time. So I don't know if you ever worked in a restaurant. And TGI Fridays at the time was a very high volume, crazy restaurant, lots of activity going on Thursday or Friday night. And if you've ever been in the bowels of the restaurant, you know, in the kitchen where all this is going on, you got people yelling and throwing stuff. And maybe that was just ours. But in the midst of all this chaos, there was this girl named Anne that I knew. And I was a waiter and she was a wait person. Right? And so she comes up to me in the middle of the chaos, and I could barely hear her over all the shouting, and she goes, Steve, how do you get into God? And I'm like, what? She says, how do you get into God? I've been trying to figure it out. And I'm like, well, we can't really talk here now. I've got four plates in my hand, and, you know, it's like steam is coming out of everywhere, but let's talk after the shift. And so we did. And I don't remember that, you know, the conversation went that far. It was like I was hoping, but I didn't know that it made that much sense to her. But it was a bizarre moment, right, when somebody just comes right up and says, how do you get into God? So that was in 19 whatever. 7 years later from that moment, I mean, that was in Indiana, right? I lived in Indiana. I was working at TGI Fridays in Indiana. 7 years later, I've come down to Dallas. I've gone to seminary. I'm working in a church in North Dallas. And it's like a Monday, and I get a knock on the door. And I open the door, and it's Ann. And I haven't seen her for 7 years. I go, What are you doing here? You know, I mean, I just try to even remember who she was. And she said, well, I just moved to Dallas and I thought I would go to a church. And I went to your church and you were doing the announcements and I was going to come up and say hi, but I didn't have time. So I just thought I'd come back the next day. So here I am now. And I'm like, wow, I haven't seen you since we worked in the restaurant. And how's it going? And I said, you know, last time we were talking, you were asking me about Jesus. She goes, right. So how do you get into God now? And we sat down. I said, well, let me tell you what happened, you know, with Jesus. And I did. And I said, does that make sense to you? She says, that makes perfect sense. And I said, well, would you like to accept Jesus today? And she said, yes, right now I do. And she did. And I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. How is this even, you can't even orchestrate this. This is like 1,000 miles away, 7 years apart. And it happens. So God is able to do all these things if we just share Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to Him. He can do amazing things, right? Because He's really in control. Well, let me give you a list. Let me close with this. Some of you love lists, so here's a list. This is a list from Tim Keller, famous New York pastor, on how to share our faith. I think it's really a good one, right? 9 items. Number one, let people around you know that you're a Christian. Don't have to broadcast it. It's not like, hey, I know everything. It's just in the course of life. Don't hide it. Just somehow let people know that you're a Christian, right? So you're not anonymous. Secondly, ask your friends about their faith. Not to comment on it, not to criticize it, not so that you can just immediately tell them what you think. Just listen. Just say, well, what do you believe? And just listen to them and learn. And I've got, there's a guy in here right now who does this all the time. And he's getting ready to have a lunch with this other guy who's a Muslim business friend. And he just wants to know what that guy believes, just so we can know him better. All right. The third one is listen to your friend's problems. If somebody else has a problem, just go, you know, tell me about it. And obviously, that person has to trust you enough to tell you problems, and maybe just go at the end, you know, would you mind if I prayed for you in this? Maybe, you know, they're going through something with their family or with work or with some physical thing. And then number four, you share your problems with them. Because guess what? Christians have problems. And when some other person hears that Christians have problems, they go, well, you know, so I guess you can identify. Yeah, because, you know, I struggle sometimes with, you know, my relationship with my wife or how to raise my kids or how to do this or that. At the same time, Jesus helps me with this. That's okay to share, too, and say it really makes a difference to be in a relationship with Christ. But I still do have problems. If they want to, you know, if you go through those and they want to, give them a book to read. If there's some book that's meant a lot to you spiritually, you know, The Case for Christ or Mere Christianity or something that has spoken to you, to say, you know, this was helpful to me. Why don't you consider reading this? And then share your story. That's where the point comes where you go, you know, would you mind if I told you what happened to me? Number seven. If they've got objections and questions, don't get all freaked out. You know, sometimes it's like, well, all right, that's a great question. Can you give me a week and I'll kind of think about that and bring some answers back to you and see what we think. Have some conversation about it. Invite them to a church event and pray that we are doing really well that particular day, right? And just because you never know what's going to happen at CBC when you show up, right? But just invite them. Say, you know, here's my faith community. It's a bunch of crazy people, and I never know what's going to happen. But, you know, I found meaning there, and I'd just like to invite. You know, if you invite 4 people to this coming Easter service, when's Easter, by the way, you know? April 16th, right? If you invite 4 people, statistics show 1 of them will come, right? So you might start inviting people. Hey, you know, Easter's kind of a big day for us, and You know, if you were a friendship partner with somebody, you know, at UNT, I mean, the deal is you're not supposed to be using it only to talk about religious things, but if they wanted to, they could come with you. Offer to read the Bible with them. You could start with Leviticus. I'd probably start with the Gospel of John, right? You know, I'd probably say, you know what, if you're really interested, how about if we read some of this thing called the Gospel of John together? And, you know, it kind of paints a picture of Jesus and how he talked to people and what it's all about. So there's some ideas, right? The bottom line is we're ambassadors for Jesus. As frail and messed up as we are, he wants to use us to communicate this relationship. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you for how incredibly gracious you've been to us. And open our eyes to those around us that want to know about you, that are openly or not so openly desperate for hope. And maybe in our own brokenness, they can see that you help broken people. And through the grace that we've received, they can find grace. And maybe it's our own weaknesses that show your strength. So give us the compassion that you have for us, that we can show that same compassion to other people. And even if we're having a really bad day and we don't feel worthy to represent you, remind us that that's not the point. That it's not our perfection that brought us to you. It's our willingness to admit our need and to receive the forgiveness and mercy that you have to offer. Help us to care for people in such a way that they might trust us with their questions. And would your Holy Spirit empower us to give some answers. Help us with those longtime friends or family members that we just can't imagine if they're ever going to express an interest in you. Help us to not give up, as you did not give up on us. Enlarge our hearts for those around us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.